To politics we go. This is predicted to be one of the tightest Seattle races this election and one of the most closely watched. I'm not talking about the mayor's race. I'm talking about the debate between City Council Position 9 candidates Nikita Oliver and Sarah Nelson. Converge Media, Rainier Radio, and the South Seattle Emerald teamed up for that debate. And Kai Radio's Hannah Scott has some of the highlights. Hannah.
Good morning, Dave. Yes, this, of course, is the seat that's being vacated by current City Council President Lorena Gonzalez. And you've got a couple of different schools of thoughts here. Of course, Nikita Oliver and Sarah Nelson. And as we reported yesterday, the latest polling, Northwest Progressive Institute polling, shows that right now Sarah Nelson has a 4-point lead over Nikita. But Nikita has that power of the late ballots, where they could definitely come from behind. During this debate last night, they first introduced themselves, kind of went over what their goals are, their interests are. And Sarah Nelson is a lifelong Democrat, a mom, plus a lot more, she said.
My husband and I started Fremont Brewing in 2009, and I got to admit I've taken some heat for being the small business owner, you know, in this race, but I think that's important. Because small businesses are the job creators and the nodes of our communities, and they're really struggling right now. And I believe that access to opportunity to build generational wealth is key to transformational change. That means jobs, job training, foreclosure prevention, access to capital, and just help navigating the maze of bureaucracy. And I can do that because I've got that lived experience.
She spoke about her support for the building trades, folks who work in those kind of industries and that kind of thing. For Nikita, they introduced themselves as an attorney, an educator, and an activist on top of that.
I've actively supported families in navigating the housing crisis and homelessness, supported tenants in fighting evictions, and handled employment discrimination cases. I've worked alongside our Office of Civil Rights, our Human Services Department, to ensure that the policies are really meeting the needs of our communities. I am committed to building green, social, affordable housing for our workers and for our lowest income residents, for addressing exclusionary zoning and redlining, and having density that helps us address our climate catastrophe so we can meet our climate goals and transportation for all.
They also noted that they had support from various current city council members, including Tammy Morales, Teresa Mosqueda, as well as the Washington Education Association, as some of their big championing points. Oliver also talked about rent control and how they supported the idea of lobbying for change at the state legislature to make rent control legal in the state.
I don't think rent control is the only answer, though it is one of the answers. I really think that a part of this is going to be utilizing things like the American Rescue Plan dollars, dollars from Jumpstart and other areas of our budget to continue to increase the amount of money that we can give to direct cash assistance to keep people in their homes until we do that very important work of ensuring rent control is an option that we have in our suite of protections for tenants.
And on Sarah Nelson, asked the same question, also had some support for rent control.
I campaigned for the statewide income tax because Seattle is a very regressive tax structure. And that lost, but I think that we need to bring that something like that back. And I would support perhaps a statewide rent control. But I'm concerned about Seattle-only taxes because it creates a patchwork of legislation that is difficult to administer, and it has different impacts on Seattle. And so I think that a better way of helping renters is right now in this crisis, direct cash payments to renters, and that will help them stay in their homes and also help our small landlords.
So basically, long answers to say that they both support the cash in hand effort, at least for the time being.
That's pretty interesting because I'm hearing more people, both conservative and liberals, saying instead of having elaborate welfare schemes, just hand people cash. It's cheaper.
It's cheap. It is cheaper in the long run. And especially now because there are still those, stimulus dollars, the dollars from the federal government for that effort. One of the interesting things, that the next two things I'm going to play you are something interesting they did in this debate, where they gave each of the candidates the opportunity to ask their opponent a question. So this is the question and the answer. Both of these have to do with public safety issues. First, Nikita Oliver asking Sarah Nelson about why she thinks some misdemeanors should still be prosecuted.
Sarah, in many ways, you have been a bit of the law and order candidate. You have called for people who you say are living in parks to be removed because they shouldn't be there. You've called for those who have maybe stolen food or clothes because they're trying to survive to be prosecuted for misdemeanors. But you yourself have eco blocks blocking the street in front of your own brewery, which is a violation of the law. You don't have a permit for it. Why is it that those folks should be prosecuted and your own law violation should be accepted?
I would not phrase myself as a law and order. I'm a public safety person. And when I talk about misdemeanors, those misdemeanors are not small crimes, and especially when they are repeated over and over again. And this is what I was hearing from Arts Lodge Cinema co-owner, you know, broken into twice. And so when it comes to the Jersey, the eco blocks,
and
every single...
So they only had 30 seconds there to get their answer in.
And
I want
to,
they just cut the mic. So they can't elaborate, and there was no elaboration afterwards. But some interesting information there. And I want to make sure we have time for the other one. This is Sarah Nelson asking Nikita the all-important question that I know you ask me all the time. If you want to defund the police and revamp the way we deal with public safety, how are you going to make the public safe?
You have called yourself an abolitionist, and you want to defund the police by 50% next year. That's the budget you're calling for. You have tweeted that want to end violence and poverty. But what are you going to do to keep people safe? What is your plan when people need to call the police if someone's breaking into their home?
In 2021, we found that 3 years of 911 data from Seattle Police Department said that 49% of calls that come into 911 could receive a non-sworn, non-police officer response. And so based in the data that 50% of calls coming into 911 actually need to receive something like a mental health provider or a de-escalator or a community-based response, it's actually data-based and data-driven to move 50% of our public safety budget into those alternative responses.
So not much more different than I've heard in the past, right, in these alternative responses, but nothing very specific as to what that would look like to keep you safe if someone's breaking into your house.
What does the polling show in that race now?
4%, 4 points ahead for Sarah Nelson right now. But again, Nikita has that power where they could easily get some late ballot come from behind situation to win, which is what they did in the August primary. They were behind and then they came up way ahead after the late ballots were counted.
Tiger Radio's Hannah Scott. Thank you, Hannah.
You bet.